John chapter 13, there are some exciting things we're going to be learning or working our way through for the next several months, because the stuff that our Lord is teaching here is astounding. Tonight we're going to deal with verses 4 through 11. Pick it up in verse 4, follow along as I read. Rose up from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had, was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hand and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, 'You are not all clean.'" Let's go to the Lord for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Rich, simple truths for us tonight. And so, Father, help us to be attentive, to listen and to take notice what you are doing here, not only in your action, but in your teaching. Father, help us not to be guilty of Peter, to think merely earthly, now, and materially. Lord, here is teaching us spiritual truth, spiritual lesson, and we need to take notice and apply them and remember them. Certainly apply them to our own hearts if they're true, and to live out the lessons that are practical. And so, Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we met, we had learned about the Lord initiating the Last Supper with the disciples because he wanted to be with them before making his ultimate sacrifice. Jesus knew his hour had come and he would depart from this world to the Father. We came to understand that Jesus loved his own and were in the world, and he loved them to the end. It had revealed to us that Jesus had been given all things into his hands, and now he had gone back to God, his Father. And I have simply entitled this message a little different than some may have. I flowed from "he loved his own, and he loved them to the end." So how did he show that love? So I have entitled it "Love Seen in Humility and Service." There are three things we're going to pick up in our passage. One is practical, one is spiritual, one is the warning. The practical is service and humility. The spiritual is the new birth, regeneration, salvation, versus or in distinction from sanctification. And then the warning of those who assume salvation when they are not. So let's take a look at it. Point number one, verses 4 and 5, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Rose from the supper and set aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Okay? So what we see here is Jesus, if you look at the first three verses that we dealt with last week, they're at a supper, they are reclining, they're eating, they're in fellowshipping, and Jesus rose up and began to gird himself with a towel, got a basin, put some water in it, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, which was a normal custom. It wasn't weird. It's weird in our culture, but it was normal then because people usually wore sandals, and there were no paved roads then. And so they got their feet very dirty, and usually when they came in, they would clean them up, but that job usually was reserved for the slave. And yet here we see Jesus, who rose up from supper. Again, like I said, they were reclining and eating at the custom of the day, each man leaning on his elbow, eating with their right hand, so to speak, unless you're left-handed, so to speak. And then everybody was at the table, face first and feet were out. So he began to grab a towel and wash his disciples' feet. As I stated, it was delegated to the slave. And so we see here, he began to do it and wiped them with the towel which he had girded. Here Jesus is modeling the work of a slave. That's why Peter reacted. What are you doing this? You're not going to wash my feet, he said. But here our Lord is leaving an example. He's modeling and leaving a pattern for us of a servant that watches the feet of the guests. He was modeling perfectly what we find that Paul teaches in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a slave and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so we see here, even as he was doing this, later on, we're not going to cover it tonight, but later on in the same chapter in verse 15, he says these words, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Okay? So this is a watching as a lesson of humility, of service, and demonstration of love. Okay? It wasn't about, so to speak, foot washing per se. That was the custom of the day. And yet there are, it's amazing how some people think, well, how come we don't do this? Because that's what Jesus said. It is the idea of serving one another. Not just foot washing. And foot washing is not the same as we have today because of shoes and payrolls and so on and so forth. So that's the lesson here, that God wanted to be servants and learning to serve and use our liberty to serve one another in love. He had said the greatest of you is the servant, not the one who at the highest on the pecking order or get the most popularity or accolade. It is the one who serves. And our Lord, who is the master, Lord of the universe. And here we see him modeling for us and stating later, do what I've done. Serve one another. Serve one another. Now we come to what do you expect? Peter's response. Point number two, Peter's objection and Jesus' response in verse 6 through 8. Then he came to Simon Peter, ready to wash his feet. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, listen to these words. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. astounding statement there. So let's back it up and start from the beginning. Here, he's washing the disciples' feet, and he comes to Peter. When he comes to Peter, Peter, what are you doing, so to speak? What are you washing my feet? No, never. The idea. Excuse me. And so the idea is that question expresses Peter's astonishment and amazement that the Lord would wash his feet, which would relegate it to the slave. And then our Lord makes a good statement. Peter's not listening, but a statement that we need to pay attention to. Again, notice verse 7. Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing to you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Jesus' answer was to show Peter and others that there was more than just a custom, more than just service, more than just a custom. You don't understand now, but you will. They're going to know right short order, because as we work our way through chapter 13, it's all going to come to light. There was more to learn from this incident than a mere reminder to observe the social courtesies of the day. It is a common thing to clean. It's kind of like what we would do today in some cases, in some home. Take your shoes off when you come in the front door. That was, you don't go into the house until the feet are washed, so to speak. That was the custom of the day, because they would clean up. But as they go out, because of sandals and the dustiness of the roads and everything, the feet got dirty really fast. And so we see here that what Jesus was teaching wasn't, he didn't say, "Hey, Peter, I'm just doing the custom." He could have maybe said, "Well, maybe the slave's not here and I'm doing it instead." And no, you don't understand what I'm, this is a lesson here. This is for you to know and to learn. A valuable, practical lesson, because he's going to be gone in 24 hours. He will have died on the cross. And so we need to understand that this has spiritual and practical lessons for us. Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." He did not like the situation. And so he may have thought, maybe I should be washing your feet, Jesus. But the idea here, Jesus took on the role of a slave, of a servant for others. We already talked about it in Philippians again, chapter 2, verse 7. He made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a slave, and coming in the likeness of men. Matthew 11:29, I love this. "Take my yoke and learn upon you and learn from me, for I am meek, I am gentle and lowly in heart, you will find rest for your soul." And then he said, "If I do not watch you, I watch you." That is a very strong emphasis, because we're going to see in a moment how it dovetailed into a method on salvation, justification, and a distinction from sanctification. And if I don't watch you, then you have no part with me. Christ must thoroughly himself wash them, or they have no part with him. The idea of the word part means to have a participation, to share in with something or someone. This is clear, and it becomes abundantly clear in a short order with Christ's upcoming sacrificial death. So we see here the lesson of, clearly, servants, humility. And then we continue on in point number 3 in verses 9 through 11. He's going to zero in on lesson number 2 and the warning. verse 9 and 10. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean." So the whole idea is Peter kind of went from one end and did a full swung too far the other side. "No, I don't want you to wash my feet. I want you to wash all of me. My hands, my head, everything." The Lord's lesson is clear here. You do not need to be thoroughly washed, or he uses the idea of cleaning, thoroughly bathed. "He who would bathe needs only to wash his feet." The word bathe is the Greek word meaning thorough bathing. The word wash is the washing specific parts of the body, hand, whatever. In this particular case, we're learning that it's washing the feet. One commentator said it this way: in the ancient world, when a person took a bath, he would clean until he walked outside in the dust, in the bare feet, or out in the or in open sandals. He would keep the rest of his body relatively clean, but his feet got dirty quickly. And that is why there was the ritual of cleaning of the feet without having to take the complete bath. And Jesus told Peter, "When I wash your feet, I make you clean all over." So the only thing that we see here is the custom of after you've been thoroughly bathed, you go out, whether it's barefoot or in sand, open sandals, you're going to get dirty, and all you need to do is clean your feet. So what I see here is the beautiful illustration of the fact that Christ, when we look to Christ, and it is through Christ's one touch and his cleansing power, Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is made clear through the rest of the passage. It's a powerful and helpful spiritual truth here. The lesson that Jesus is driving here is the fact that to be bathed is to be completely clean. This is the idea of justification and our salvation, where God in Christ forgive us all of our past, all of our sin, past, present, and future. There is no fear of condemnation or ultimate judgment because of the sufficient work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We see that throughout Scripture. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 8:1, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." John 3:18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Later on in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but hath passed from death into life." So we see here the necessity of salvation, or the necessity of being washed. Now, when he talked about just being, the necessity of being washed versus bathing, it is the idea of our sanctification, as we spiritually need to constantly confess our sins on a regular basis. This is our sanctification, our spiritual daily cleansing from our ongoing fellowship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. The need for cleansing comes from the defilement we contact as we go out and walk into this sinful world. From time to time, we yield to temptation. From time to time, we become disobedient. We need to be not thoroughly bathed. Justification has taken place. But we need our feet washed. We need to come clean. This is where the beautiful truth of 1 John 1:9 comes. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse it from all unrighteousness. And that is certainly a sanctification verse, because many years ago I had somebody come to me and say, well, no, that's a salvation verse. And it's a sanctification verse. Well, how do you know? Well, the whole idea of the word confess, not only do I understand the word of the two words put together to say the same thing, it is also in a repeated sense and not a once-for-all statement or a once-for-all act. This is something you need to do on a regular basis. You don't need to get saved again and again and again. But sanctification, you need to constantly confess your sins when you sin and it's obeying the Lord. Watching your feet, so to speak. The imagery is all there for the idea of thoroughly bathed, because I did that. And you have to come to me for your cleansing as well. Your watching. That we have here a beautiful imagery. So, how did God, in a practical sense, clean us in our sanctification? Well, I already gave you one, confessing our sin. He is faithful to forgive, amen, and cleanse us. So we got the cleansing there. But there are some great verses that our Lord taught us that have to do and tied in to the means of the use of his word, such as John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. John 15:3, we're going to learn later, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Psalm 119:9-11, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so we see here, as we are dealing with Peter's response and our Lord on not only giving his initial statement, you don't understand now, but you will. He's telling it a little bit right here and tells more later on. But the whole idea here is he who had bathed, verse 10, needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean. And so we see that. But then he makes an astounding statement at the end of verse 10 and follows up completely in verse 11. Notice what it said in the last phrase in verse 10. But not all of you. He points to Peter, you're clean, but not all of you. And then he goes on, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Here lies the warning. Just because you have an association with him, just because you've been with him, we obviously know who we're talking about here. His name is Judas. Our Lord is bringing him into the discussion again. We already know from verse 2, the supper ending, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Okay? Jesus knows it. They don't know that yet, because we're going to get that part of it later. But Jesus knows what's going on here. And this whole lesson flows from the idea of Judas versus the others, salvation versus not, son of perdition versus children of God. And so we see here a warning. Doesn't matter how many religious privileges you've had, gospel opportunity. Are you born again? Have you experienced conversion, regeneration, the new birth, the changed life, the transformation? Any man in Christ, he's a new creature. Again, in the most delicate and most intimate, probably one of the greatest. If I had to pick any story or any moment I would have wanted to be in, I would have wanted to be in the upper room. There's a lot of neat things he did, but there's nothing like this moment of absolute intimacy. This is when our Lord exposed the greatest of his teaching giving them things they've never heard before and learning it from the master himself. And he's about ready to sacrifice himself on the behalf of his people. And to hear the high priestly prayer, my goodness, you're on holy ground there. But here, he's warning, not all of you are clean. That should always perk us up to examine our hearts. Paul warned the Corinthians, examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Don't assume. Make sure. Make sure. Clear back a year earlier in John chapter 6, verse 64, our Lord said these words, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And yet I love what Robinson Word Picture, the Greek scholar, he said this. He said, Jesus had known for a year at least, and yet he treated Judas with usual courtesy. And yet Judas said no, rejected, resisted, don't want it, give me the money. Don't want him, I want the money. We have to be careful of that own spirit on ourselves. We have to be careful and take heed to this warning ourselves to make sure that we have been bathed and thoroughly clean and that we have a part of Christ and a part with Christ. And it is He and He alone is our hope and salvation. It's tragic here. The tragic story of Judas who continued to reject and ignore the call of Christ. He who witnessed for 3 years the life of the perfect person in before him. There was no hypocrisy. It was perfection. He who witnessed the salvation of so many people, the maniac from Gadara, the Syrophoenician woman, the woman at the well, the woman with the issue of blood, the woman taken in adultery, not to mention the many of the disciples themselves who he worked and ministered with for 3 years. He heard the story of Matthew and Peter and John and Simon the Zealot and others. Yet, he witnessed the greatest teacher, as I said before, who delivered every lesson perfectly and flawlessly. Precision. With the perfect spirit and love. And yet he continued to reject, resist, and say no. Let this be a warning to the unregenerate, to those who continue to hear, who had been blessed with multiple gospel opportunities and yet continue to reject and resist the gospel. So, beloved, if you're here in Christ and you have been thoroughly looking to Him as your all in all you have, using the illustration and the metaphor that's being used and everything, if you have been thoroughly bathed by Him, praise God. Learn to serve and be humble. It's not about, we're not special people. We're saved people by His grace. The only difference between us and them is grace. But we are to serve one another. We are to humble ourselves as we walk through this world and minister to each other. We must remember the lesson our Lord continued to hammer over and over is the need of salvation and the necessary sanctification that flows from it. There is a distinction. They're not the same. Sanctification doesn't save it. Sanctification proves our salvation. But if you're here tonight and you're one of those who said no, not now, later, another time, that's a terrible place to be. May that be a warning. May Judas burn into your ear as a warning to not be in his camp. may you come to Christ. Father, thank you for your love, your word, and your goodness. Our Lord, such the consummate perfect teacher, always teaching, always guiding us in truth, always, he understands, he's teaching things that they will not understand on the surface, and yet they will know eventually because the Holy Spirit will bring it to their remembrance. He's going to teach that a little later. And they're going to learn these things and realize their value and their importance. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to learn the lesson of being servants and servants that are humble, giving of ourselves to serve to the minister to the needs of others. Hear the great second member of the Godhead, the Son of God, humbled himself to do so many things that in essence would beneath him, but yet he, by example, taught us how to live. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.